This is Transforming Learning. In the TL Podcast, we share conversations with teachers about classroom strategies that elevate teaching and learning. If you hear a helpful idea, let us know by sharing the episode or leaving a review on iTunes. We are at CBD Consulting on social media. And don't hesitate to connect with us directly or browse our other resources at cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. From everyone here at Communications by Design, we hope you enjoy.
There were also times in Africa, for example, because we would travel at one point to Africa, they had to watch a video on how to make an African headdress from Tanzania. Or they were interacting with, for example, they had to say a certain amount of words in Swahili correctly to me.
Apparently, the amazing race has a very rich cultural and curricular connection to sixth grade social studies. But I wouldn't have guessed it until I spoke with Pam Stuckey, a sixth grade teacher at North Rockford Middle School, who shared with me how she tackles the sizable challenge of instructing sixth graders on global cultures. It's a healthy combination of exploration, sharing findings with peers and teachers, and a little bit of competition thrown in just to keep things interesting. And yes, at least one of Pam's students preferred to be in class for the amazing race rather than go on vacation. For episode 49, here's Pam Stuckey and the amazing culture race. Well, Pam, welcome to the podcast. So glad that you could join us.
Thank you.
For our listeners' sake, you're a middle school teacher at North Rockford Middle School in Rockford Public Schools. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do here? What's your role?
Well, I'm at North Rockford Middle. This is my 31st year, and I am teaching sixth grade language arts and social studies. And we are in a magnet situation, so I have students that really rely heavily on collaborative learning and interpersonal communications.
Is that particularly then your magnet, is communications and collaboration? Is that how it's described?
To a point, it's kids that really like to learn through speaking and working together. And we do that across all magnets, but these are the kids that's really their strength.
So then for a little bit of context, what are the other magnets that are available to the students?
We have the HealthQuest magnet, which are the students that like to learn by moving. We have the Fine Arts magnet, are the kids that really like the drama and to be able to express themselves in that way. And we also have the Forces of Nature magnet, and those are our naturalist kids. And finally, we also have the Structures magnet, and those are our kids that are very linear. They love to put things in tables, make things, our world, organized.
That's awesome. It's a kind of a different structure to the sixth grade bridge between elementary and middle school.
It really is, and I think about it as sixth grade is like the kindergarten of middle school. So we need to have something different. We need to have something that these kids can really dive into middle school with them being able to feel safe.
So our hope in this conversation right now is to hear a little bit about a particular idea that you have. And I don't know a lot about it myself yet, so this will be kind of a big reveal for me as well. But you call it the Amazing Race, or something related to the Amazing Race. Tell us about that idea. What is it and how does that work?
Absolutely. Well, last year our curriculum changed. Prior to that, we had focused mostly on the Western Hemisphere, North and South America, and we were told we had to do the whole world. And I thought, boy, doing continent by continent with these students, they're going to be dead by the third continent. So I decided to do something different, and I call it the Amazing Culture Race. And my thought was, talk about culture, introduce them to culture, but some of the continents like Africa, which have an immense variety of cultures, let's have a race through Africa learning different things. And it's with a team, it's competitive, and it's at their own rate.
So what is the competition?
The competition is different legs, and there actually is nothing that they win except a badge. It's simply badge oriented. And the fact that they say, we are winning, we're in the lead, that's pretty exciting for them.
Badge of honor, is it?
A badge of honor, exactly. And not once did they even ask, what do we get for this? I would just say, who's winning this leg, who's winning this leg, and so on. And that was enough. They were excited.
No doubt. As you described that, it sounds like something I would want to participate in. It sounds exciting. I'm curious then, so how does that work when the students are doing the races and the legs and such? What does that actually look like?
We started it shortly after we delved into the five themes of geography, and hitting location, which was the most right there in your face, it's concrete learning. I gave them a latitude and longitude where they started and then where they were going to end up for the first leg. They had to find a flight with a certain amount of money, and they had to be able to get to that place within a certain amount of time as well. Once they arrived there, in this case it was New York City, that's when the culture really race then kind of commenced from there. But it was also a point of patience. They would have to submit that flight information to me, and I would have to approve it or deny it. And there were times where they would just be sitting there, you know, with kind of bated breath, and I said, welcome to waiting in airports, welcome to flight delays. So right. It was real life.
Absolutely is. Yeah. So I'm just kind of thinking about the technology side of that then, because there's a lot of detail that mm-hmm. you're trying to organize and mm-hmm. trying to be efficient with it. Mm-hmm. You're very familiar with utilizing technology in your teaching in various ways. Mm-hmm. How do you do that for this particular activity?
Each leg was a folder that I created within Schoology, and I had completion rules. And within that, it was a variety of quizzes, it was videos, it was Google Docs. So, for example, at one point they had to find what they thought was the most interesting foods that they could find in New York City, and they were taken on a little video trip. And then within the Google Doc, they had to put what foods that they found that they were interested in. And of course, there's a timestamp within a Google form, so there was no arguing about who finished first and so on. There were also times in Africa, for example, because we would travel at one point to Africa, they had to watch a video on how to make an African headdress from Tanzania. They would have to go out in the hall, and when they found it, they took a picture with their computer, and then we'd come in and either submit it or show me the picture, depending on the line, and then I gave them a code word. And that code word they would then put into the quiz, which would then allow them to go on to the next step.
So you're creating your own kind of like series of mm-hmm. things within those tools.
Absolutely.
So they use the one to unlock the others.
Right. And it was a variety where some of it, they would be heavy into their technology, whether they were watching about interesting things about animals and had to pass a quiz, or they were interacting with, for example, they had to say a certain amount of words in Swahili correctly to me. And if they missed it, they would have to go to the end of the line. And that was frustrating because they knew the words, they found the words, but they mispronounced them. So they found out also on the internet, there's a lot of miscommunication there, that was a learning process as well. So, and they were frustrated, but they would laugh. So it was kind of that mix there.
So I guess I have a question that I wasn't initially preparing you for, mm-hmm. but when you think about the way the activity has worked and what you intend to do, what are some things or a particular thing that you would like to see that hasn't been a part of it yet? Mm-hmm. Something you want to add to it or something that you want to try to do better?
I would really like to add something in there where as they're going along the way, they can acknowledge something that they'd like to further their interests in. So maybe they really were into, for example, we had the Maasai village people. It showed the jumping dance. Maybe they're like, I want to find out about the Maasai people. So I'd like to have some point along the journey where they have to stop and they have some choice projects that they can do, but they have to determine what along that African culture would they like to delve into more. So that's what I'd like to add in.
Very cool. Well, any other thoughts just in reflection about how valuable the experience mm-hmm. has been as you've tried it in the past?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that surprised me is kids didn't want to miss school. We didn't do it every day. I know some people do this kind of gaming every day. We just would do it on Fridays. And I would have parents calling me, can they please make it up? My child doesn't want to go on this trip to Great Wolf Lodge. You know, all these interesting things about the kids not wanting to do it. And I said, that is the one thing, you must be present. They can still participate next week. They're just going to be behind.
Right. I don't want to go to Great Wolf Lodge
exactly. Because
I want to be in school.
And that really happened.
That's a true story, folks.
That's a true story.
Wow. That is so cool. And I think the thing that I really appreciate the most about it as you're sharing that, Pam, is for you, the challenge was we've got all of this that we have to cover, and there's a lot to it, probably more to it than a sixth grade mind really truly grasps. So you found a way to make it fun, but also a way in that fun to be very relevant. Mm-hmm. And that's not always easy to do.
So right.
I appreciate hearing that.
Right. Thank you. Because it is, you do want to have fun, but it definitely has to be pertinent and fit in with what I'm teaching. It can't be those kind of frosting activities. So that's really our intention.
Yeah. Our big question at this point is always, if a teacher is hearing this idea and wants to try something like that or just wants to hear more about your thoughts, how can that person contact you?
Contacting me through email is probably the best way, and happy to help, happy to share, happy to do whatever, because to me, if you have something that someone else can use, let's spread the wealth.
Definitely. What's your email, Pam?
pstuckey, S-T-U-C-K-E-Y, at rockfordschools.org.
Awesome. And I'll include that in the episode description as well, so it'll just be a clickable link there, too.
Great.
Well, Pam, I really appreciate your willingness to share this idea. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Thank you for letting me share. It was great.
Thanks for listening to Transforming Learning by CBD. Continue the conversation with us by visiting cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu, where you can contact our team to help brainstorm, plan, reflect, or troubleshoot your ideas and strategies. For more podcast episodes, visit anchor.fm/cbdpodcast or subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. Help us get the word out by leaving a review and rating on your podcast app, as well as sharing on your favorite social media platform. Tag @CBD Consulting and we'll be sure to respond.